Hello, and welcome to Walking with the Tengu, a podcast where we usually explore classic texts for the modern martial artist. I've had a pretty challenging year so far. It has felt like every single week there has been something that broke, went wrong, or a member of the family that got sick. Heck, this morning I woke up to a loud pop in the kitchen to find our microwave had suddenly exploded and popped the breakers in the kitchen. Last month, my coffee maker broke. The month before, while it was still winter, our front window glass lost integrity. As you may recall, my car took a giant chunk of metal through the front back in January. So the list goes on. It's been so bad that I actually haven't been able to make it to my normal BJJ class in over a month. Thankfully, I've been able to still make it to my Saturday morning Iaido classes, which has been nice. But my sensei has been out of town for most of April and will be for the first couple of weeks of May. So I've been opening the school for us in the meantime. So how do I not go crazy? If you're anything like me, you get a little stir crazy when you can't train. Martial arts is my primary form of exercise, and I've noticed my weight creeping up since the start of the year. So this week, I went back to doing regular daily body weight workouts, and as I sit here recording this, my whole body aches. The good kind of ache, mind you, so I'm not complaining. Well, to get to the heart of the matter, I do what I normally do, just more. Over the years, I've traveled all over the world, and often to places with little to no martial arts options. At least, none that were worth dropping in for a couple weeks before disappearing again. So, I've developed a library of solo exercises that I use to work both generic physical patterns that are common to the arts that I've practiced, and, you know, I started off obviously with primarily BJJ solo exercises, and then started adding other things as I was exposed to them in places like Shuai Jiao, Sumo, and even Iaido. One of the earliest practices I picked up, though, was a footwork drill that comes from boxing, or at least that's the first place I was exposed to it, ironically in the police academy. So let's chat briefly about these exercises. They're probably not, air quotes, the best exercises, but for my purposes, they're pretty good. They keep me moving and train portions of the martial arts I practice. Speaking of which, let's take a moment and talk about what I like to call the tyranny of the best. This is something I've been thinking about for a while now, where I'm constantly coming across martial artists who are a little too focused on doing something in the, air quotes, best way possible. One example is wrestlers who think we need to be training our takedowns like they did in high school wrestling. The problem is, those guys all have banged up, permanently injured knees, and the rest of us don't have the bodies of high schoolers or college students anymore. So, while I don't doubt for a moment that if I wanted to be a highly skilled competitive wrestler, I should train like them. For the rest of us mere mortals, training like them would result in serious injury that would only impede our longevity and continued training. So, no, in this case, the best doesn't match with our reality. It's important to understand that there are different measures for what is the best way to train. If you're looking to compete in a high-stakes, high-reward competition, then there are sacrifices that need to be made to be able to compete at that level, and some of those sacrifices may mean you spend the rest of your life with permanent injuries. In my case, the best is training that lets me train for the longest period of time in relative health. That's a different measuring stick. Does it mean I'll be the best at what I do? Of course not. I'm not trying to be the best. I'm trying to have a good time, stay in pretty good shape, and maybe have a couple useful skills to pull out in an unexpected high-stress scenario. I heard it recently described, I don't remember by who now, but he was describing, it was some famous jiu-jitsu person, describing how some people are training themselves to be like an F1 performance race car, whereas most people in the gym are training to just have a normal commuter car to get them to and from work. I don't need to be that high-performance race car. I need the commuter car for daily life. So that might be a good way to think about it. And so don't ever let the idea of what you are doing, not being the best, get in the way of doing some training today. Doing something is always better than doing nothing. And don't let the tyranny of the best stop you from doing something that is just okay. All right, let's look at some of these exercises I use. Mind you, these aren't all of them. However, these are some of the ones I chose to include because I'm releasing a little book today meant to be carried around in a pocket or a bag when you need a little training prompt. You can find a link to it in the show notes. I've tried to keep the cost down as much as possible and yet still have it be rugged enough to fit in my pocket. You know, over the years, I've acquired a large number of small pocket-sized copies of classical works, and that combined with a small notebook I can write in have been the core of my travel training tool set. No matter where I go, I have something to exercise my mind and body. So, essentially what I've put together is a combined volume that contains a set of 40 meditations on classical quotes, paired with a few simple exercises that can benefit any martial artist. Some people are more self-conscious than others, and while I may be comfortable doing some of these exercises at an airport gate surrounded by people, I know others are not. So I've included what I'm calling overt and covert exercises. Six are really obvious, and six can be done with mostly no one knowing what you're doing. Let's start by looking at a couple of the overt. The first is Shiko, an exercise that comes from sumo that is really good for training your balance, flexibility, and your hips. This one comes up in all sorts of situations. I find people in just about every one of the Japanese martial arts communities including Shiko somewhere. I've found it being practiced in Kendo, Iaido, Aikido, and even classical Kenjutsu. I imagine there are others that do it too. While it may seem too simple at first, it really is a good all-in-one exercise for anyone. So you do it like this. You point your toes and your knees outward at diagonal angles, and then you squat as low as is comfortable. You don't have to get super low, but whatever's comfortable. Then you lean to one direction, bringing all your weight on one foot, and you lift the opposite leg and foot into the air and try to hold it there for a few seconds. And then you set it back down and come back into your starting squat position. And then you just repeat on the other side. The next overt exercise I like to talk about is what I call flow. It's a method of visualizing and working on your techniques in a chain. This one is a core element of my daily practice. I don't think a single day goes by that I don't practice some sort of flow. And in fact, in my family, I have a move of the week that we're working on that is fit into a flow, which usually means one or two moves before and after whatever the technique is, so both my kids, my wife, and I can practice this move in context, and that's kind of what I'm describing here. Now, you can just do it simply in your mind, or you can do it slowly in a small space, or even with a partner. So what you do is you pick two or more movements from your martial art. Slowly and with excruciating detail, see each thing you are doing and what your opponent is doing. Flow between the moves, going from one to the other, and try to find different ways to get in and out. This may mean adding a move in between or after, but as you get more comfortable with this, you can add even more moves. If your style has forms, you could use those. You could take a very small portion of them and just focus on the details of it. It might mean practicing these things in smaller chunks or in a less rigid way, but you can mull over these bite-sized pieces to improve your familiarity and understanding of the techniques. Now, let's take a look at some covert exercises. These are not perfectly invisible, but can be done without drawing too much attention to yourself. They tend to hit smaller slices of the potential areas to train, but in the end, that's really what it's all about, isn't it? Squeezing in small amounts of training in between the cracks of life. The first is what I call the grip sequence, and it helps with, unsurprisingly, your grip strength. So what you do is you press your palms together in front of you, and you hold for a set count. Could be 10 seconds, could be 20, whatever works for you. Then you switch, rotate your hands palm to palm to a gable grip. That's, you know, with your fingers wrapped around the edge of your hand. And then you pull, and you hold for a set count. And then you switch sides. Then you change to an S grip. That's your fingers curled around each other. And again, you pull, hold for a set count, then switch sides and repeat. Fairly simple. Another one is what I simply call footwork. It helps with both balance and visualization. If you have footwork drills already in your art, then you could use those. I've seen plenty in Xing Yi Chuan, in Shuai Jiao, in Sumo, in Jiu-Jitsu. So a lot of people have footwork. But in a very, very simple example, this variation of footwork drills, which I mentioned I first got from boxing, what you do is this. You get into your ready position, whatever that means. Or remember, we're doing this covertly in a position that blends into your environment. Whatever that looks like, your lead foot will move first in the direction you're going. So if you're moving forward, the rear foot will follow so that you end in the same starting position. You can move forward, back, left, right, and at angles. And as you do this, you visualize your opponent as you move. So these are just a couple of the overt and covert training exercises you can use to get a little more movement, exercise, and martial training in every day. Mind you, this is not a replacement for actual training, just little things that you can fit into the cracks of your spare time when you maybe can't make it to a class, or maybe if you just want to get a little more out of your day. We need to train every day, both our minds and our bodies. And like I mentioned earlier, I've been doing this for years, getting small copies of classics, carrying a pocket notebook with training drills, exercises, and plans. So I figured I'd make the book I've always wanted to carry around with me, and maybe someone else will find it useful too. This is a small pocket book. It's out now, and it includes quotes from classical works, a short musing, and then a covert and overt training prompt. I've sourced these exercises from boxing, BJJ, judo, sumo, shuai jiao, and iaido. There are 12 solo exercises, 6 overt and 6 covert. They can benefit anyone who practices just about any martial art. And there's a brief description of each in the back. I've collected a few videos from other people demonstrating these exercises, or you can just get on YouTube and search for them. There are lots of examples out there to help you learn them. Read and meditate on the quotes. The key, though, is to train your mind and your body every day. I hope this small book will help you achieve that. Let me know what sorts of exercises you do for your martial art when you can't make it to a proper training class. Send me an email at walkingwiththetengu, that's all one word, @gmail.com. And as always, remember to not just talk about philosophy, but like your martial art, live it.